those who listen to our show religiously, you'll recognize our next guest. We had him on in mid-September to share his new business and the grand opening. The opening was delayed over 2 months. Fortunately for us, Chomp Donuts opened on Friday. Joining to discuss all sorts of details is Rick Nemeroff. Rick, welcome to Mountain Money. Thank you for joining us.
And thank you so very much for having me back.
Okay. So your grand opening was not September 15th. It was on Friday. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay. And how'd it go?
Well, first and foremost, I have to stop and thank everybody in Park City. I've got to thank you, everyone listening to this, anyone who's not listening to this, who should be listening to this. Friday was our way of giving back. And what we did was we got our permits earlier that week. We got everything approved, and we spent Wednesday and Thanksgiving Day prepping so that on Friday we can open up, give free donuts and coffee, and boy, Park City showed up, like really showed up. And I think those of you who were there stood in line, and fortunately it was a beautiful day, hadn't snowed yet, so it was gorgeous, but it was absolutely spectacular. And we opened, and then I'm gushing because it was so moving for all of us to have put so much into this and to have people stopping by during construction, pulling for us, following us on Instagram, following our website. So thank you, Park City. Thank you. Thank you.
Park City comes together when necessary, doesn't it?
Yeah, and when you offer them a free donut.
Yeah, there you
well,
go.
Well, yes. And well, here's what's great. They didn't just respond to the free donut on Friday. When we opened up Saturday morning and Sunday morning at 7 a.m.,
still,
they showed up again. Our numbers on both days were equally impressive.
And even today.
Even today. As I was leaving the shop, and I left Jeff and Leah to man everything, because I clearly am the expendable one who can come on radio. The line was already just about poking out the door, and that was just before 9 o'clock. So it has been, thank you again to Park City. Everyone is showing up, and even the people who didn't show up this weekend are showing up today.
I went there on Friday, and I saw the line, but I had to be in Salt Lake. It's like, I don't have time for this line, because this is the line outside. I know how big it is inside. Holy cow.
Well, you know, the fun part was, I think this is the real tell. We had people who came by on Friday, couldn't wait on Friday, come back on Saturday, couldn't get in on Saturday, came back Sunday morning earlier so they could get their selection of donuts. Or we had people show up at the end of the day Saturday, they didn't get what they wanted, they showed up early Sunday morning because they wanted to get first pick.
I love it. Well, since we didn't get in Friday, we did that. We went down on Saturday morning with the whole family. We stood in line outside. It wasn't too bad. It didn't go to the end of the building. It was very easy. But then we got inside, yeah, and the line was there. But as you said, in September, this was going to be a hub for the community. And sure enough, as soon as I got inside, there was my next door neighbor, a friend of mine I hadn't seen in a while. Another buddy came in, a hockey buddy of ours, yep, came in later on, and he looked at the line and said, nah, I'm out of here. I'll be back tomorrow. But it is the hub.
It is exactly what we wanted. We've had people stopping in, seeing each other, and then what's great is they will see each other in line, someone will go sit down, and then someone will go join them who they haven't seen in a while, and it's this reconnection, and it's exactly what we talked about back in September. This is, we want to bring Park City together and make a very inclusive thing. So new people were meeting old people were meeting new people, and it was fabulous, and grandparents were bringing grandkids, and it was just wonderful.
Nice. And how many people did you see in the shop that you hadn't seen in years? For your own hub.
Dozens. Yeah. Dozens and dozens of folks who have been following me on Instagram, who have been cheering me on, people who didn't even know that I was doing, who are on social media. They walk in and there's this guy like, Rick, what are you doing here? Like, as I'm boxing donuts and handing donuts, people are like, this is what I do now. It was just amazing. Lots of hugs in the line from myself and my partners among people and people among people. So it was great.
Any sense of how many donuts you sold on Saturday?
Thousands. Thousands and thousands of donuts over the weekend. We have the specifics, and we can break them down, but between Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, we just crushed production. In fact, on Saturday morning, there's a difference between donuts. I don't want to get too into the weeds, but there's yeast-raised donuts that get proofed, and then they get fried, and they're the bigger ones. And then there are the cake donuts, different batter, different process. Yeast-raised donuts take a little bit more time. We got so slammed Saturday morning that I think it was around 10 or 11 o'clock that we were running out of our yeast-raised donuts, and we had to remake the dough in the back and proof it and get ready. I basically did one of those standing on the countertop, announcing to everybody, if I can have everybody's attention, because at this point we had like 15 orders and some were waiting on a cake donut, some were waiting on a yeast raised donut. I said, can I have everybody's attention? I need to explain how donuts get made. This is the difference between yeast raised and cake donuts. We are out of yeast raised donuts right now. We're making more dough. It takes time to proof so that we can then make them. Can we please ask for your patience and big favor? If you have an order that you've ordered a yeast raised donut, if you want a refund, we will give it to you. If not, can you just let us know which cake donut that we can put in there? And I will tell you to an absolute T, nobody asked for a refund. Everybody took whatever donuts were available, and it was beautiful.
So let's talk about how, once you get some stability in your numbers,
yes.
Let's talk about, you know, how the night goes. How do you get ready? What's the process? When does it start? Give us a sense of production life at Chomp.
Once it settles down. And we're actually funny. It's funny you say that because we actually settled down overnight. Saturday taught us what the demand may be, and that allowed us for yesterday to have a better total day of donuts sold with a lot more certainty and calmness to it. We didn't know what we didn't know on Saturday. Certainly Friday was just like the doors are open, freebies, here you come. And then Sunday, we kind of settled down. And then right now, as I was leaving the shop to come here, it's a much well-oiled machine. So we have people who we basically start production before we leave so we can get donuts ready to proof overnight. So that way, when we come in the next morning, we've got donuts that can be proofed and ready to be put into the fryer to start. So that's why when we open our doors now at 7, it'll be earlier during the ski season, when we start the day, they are with donuts that literally have come out of production within, like, minutes.
So you say proof. Let's talk about what. So I know there's yeast. I know it has to rise. I'm visualizing it, but I'm struggling a little bit. What are you doing the night before?
We are making dough.
You're making the dough and putting it in.
Oh, we're putting it in our. We have a big walk-in refrigerator where we've got all these proofing sheets that are laid out, so that way we can have them ready to then. They settle
overnight.
And they basically it's called retarding the dough. So you put it in the cold. It doesn't proof. It doesn't get too big. We can take it out the next morning. It proofs in the proofer, which is has a temperature and humidity levels. And then we can take that out. It rises. If you overproof it, it's huge. If you underproof it, it's too small. And we try to be Goldilocks and get it just right. And that's what my partner Jeff, who is, you know, chef extraordinaire, has done, for his career, is get it just right. So that way, when we start, we are making donuts. So people ask us, you know, why are you out of something? We're out of something because the production run has gone X, and we're now at X plus one. Now, here's what's great, and I don't want to give away the secret here, but very often, and we did this for kids, adults, you may be on your own, but for kids, every now and then we would run out of something, and a kid would be sitting there looking up forlornly at us like, but I wanted the X donut. We can kind of finagle our way around a single donut here or there, and we certainly want to make sure that the young ones are taken care of, and we can do it. But for mass production, like I said on Saturday, where we had 15, 20 tickets of donuts and boxes of donuts people are ordering, it takes a little bit of time. So that's how it works.
So that's how the yeast works. On the cake side, is that something that you start the night before as well?
No, that is not as labor or time intensive the night before. That's labor or time intensive during the day, but you can mix those batters up as you're going along as opposed to the ones that are yeast raised.
And if you're going to open at 7, which is where you are now, what time does somebody have to come in to get things started?
So 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning. Mm-hmm. Arguably our lights are only off for a few short hours from at night, and they probably will never be off once we get even to the busier season. But we've got our chefs coming in at 3:30, 4 o'clock, getting production ready. Our front of house baristas start coming in. Some of them come in at 6, some come in 7. Leah, my partner, who's been working on our on the technological side and on the sales side, on the point of sale system, she's been in every morning by 5 o'clock in the morning. I'm in doing work at home, getting stuff ready. Then I come in at 6 because I don't have as much to do between 5 and 6. I get there at 6. I make sure the sign's up, rolling out things, make sure that we're ready to then start the boxing process and everything else. And then we all kind of fall into our lanes and, the doors open and it's like, good morning and welcome to Chomp.
Well, with all that talk on the proofing, I'm giving a shout to Scott and Lynn for Cool Science Radio, because that was very scientific and and it just went right over. All right, we're going to shift gears a little bit.
By the way, I might have gotten all of that wrong. So
it sounded right to me.
I'm a former lawyer, so I speak with authority, and it sounded really good.
I
could have gotten all backwards, and Jeff is like in the store, like thinking, why did I let Rick go on the radio? But that's you got me. That's what you got.
Gotcha. Perfect. We appreciate it. Yeah. So the grand opening was a long time coming. Were you constantly getting questioned? I know I was bugging you. Constantly getting questioned on social media, via text, email. When are you going to open?
Yes. So here was my both brilliant and then completely unbrilliant decision. I had come up with that idea about putting the countdown timer on our website when we thought we know when we're going to open. And boy, you talk about the best laid plans of mice and men. It went so awry, you can't begin. Because I had to reset that clock, I think, 3 or 4 times. And finally, my partners and Brandy Pope were like, can we take this off? Because this is really not working for us. I'm like, fine, take it off. No more countdowns. We can't do this. And then we just went. So then what we did was on social media, and I think this was super effective. And this is where I thank Park City again for stepping up and supporting us. We started posting what was going on photos. We showed the roof that had been leaking on us. We showed the repairs being made. We showed what was going on. And God, it was amazing the outpouring of positive support we got from everybody who saw the pictures, thanked us, wished us well. We actually had some people come by the store and say, what can we do to help you? My partner, who's Jeff, who's a chef, who's been in this business for decades, was like, I have never had potential customers come in and ask, how can I open your restaurant faster?
Faster.
I mean, it was nuts.
So is that what it was? It was a leaky roof?
So it started off with a leaky roof. We did not realize, it was the former Subway space, we had not realized when we signed the lease how it had been leaking in the past. You know, that's a story for another day. But what then turned out was, it hadn't rained all summer long, and then the insulation's out, the roof is out, we're getting our electricians in, we're putting all stuff in, and then we got those gully washer rains that came in, and guess what? Electricians are looking up saying, we're not running power when it's dripping on us. The roof, the ceiling people are not laying ceiling. We're not putting our hood in. So we had all these things that then got delayed. And then if anyone has done construction in Park City, which we all have, you know that if that first domino falls backwards, all fall backwards. So then you're off everyone's schedule. And then the electrician who is, or the plumber or whoever was scheduled to be there for week one, all of a sudden has another job. So then it became like a one problem begat another problem, and we were in a mad scramble. So long story short, big shout out to the fire department. Big shout out to the health department. I know everyone gives everyone a bad rap in the government, but the health department and the fire department were great. With the inspections and working with us and helping us, I could not. I know everyone complains about how long things take, and they take a minute or two or weeks or months, but these are folks who wanted help, and the fire marshal helped us. The health inspector helped us, not by giving us any grace, but by working with us schedule-wise, which was so huge to accommodate us, which is how we wound up getting our final business license printed Tuesday night before Thanksgiving. Wow. And we're like, all the lights on our dashboard were green, and we're like, go, go, go. It was sort of like watching a drag race, where it was red, then yellow, then all of a sudden we had all green. We passed health, we passed this. And then I called the clerk of the office. I remember I called the clerk, Melissa. Thank you, Melissa, if you're listening. You know how I begged you Tuesday afternoon at 4 o'clock to please give us our final so I get the business license. And then that final dot turned green. I paid the fee, and we were like, I printed out like 7 copies of the business license. I put one in a frame, and Jeff's like, production time. Because then we can start cooking, we can start doing everything. And since we make everything in-house, all our fillings and all our toppings, you have to think about this. We had to go from zero all the way up to full production in a matter of days, one of which was Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
I mean, and then we were going to give away stuff on Friday. So it was Herculean, and I love our chefs, I love our baristas, I love everyone who works for us, because they stuck with us, and they pulled it together, and, I get to reap the rewards sitting here on the radio talking about how great it is, but I don't sit here alone. I sit here on the shoulders of everybody in our organization and in the shop right now who are cranking out donuts and cranking out coffee and boxing and selling.
Yeah, I mean, you were saying earlier that it was a madhouse over the weekend. Saturday, I thought it was so well oiled.
Oh,
You know, it just went well.
Well, because we've learned to smile through chaos. You may not realize the chaos was going on, but I will assure you, we were living chaos.
Yeah.
And then when we got to Saturday afternoon, and we're open until 3:30, we've yet to make it to 3:30. We do our final production sometime in the afternoon, and we get hit with like an afternoon rush, and like, okay, we're not going, because since we make our things fresh, we don't produce in the morning and then run out by 10 o'clock. We produce throughout the day. But at some point, we have to stop production for the day to get ready for the next day. So we've so far run out. I sold I think it was on yesterday, the last donut sold was a jelly-filled donut, with a raspberry jam-filled donut around 2:50 p.m., and then we were done. And I think the day before might have been, I'm trying to think with the two donuts. There was like someone had like, there was like two vanilla glazed or something left. And those were the last two I sold on Saturday. And then we were done.
So we've talked a little bit about your production methods. Let's zoom back a little bit and ask the question, why do we need another donut shop? What are you bringing to the party that's new and different?
Well, first and foremost, there is no other donut shop in Park City. So I think arguably, Park City clearly wanted a donut shop, needed a donut shop, and has shown up for our donut shop.
Absolutely.
So I'll start off with supply met demand.
Okay.
This is where I'm out in money. We can talk economics. Supply met demand. There was demand. We did not realize the size of demand. We are now realizing it, as Kevin found out standing in line. And then you know, we talk about the quality. The thing that has been, I think, the most impressive for everybody who has been in and out of the shop has been the quality of the donuts. People think of donuts as a commodity. But when you look at them as the actual product, as a not necessarily a boutique product, but as a not even a luxury product, but a very specifically made product, you start to look at what goes into it. There's a reason why certain things cost more, certain things cost less. As I said earlier, everything in our donuts we make in-house. So the caramel that's on our salted caramel, we actually...
Just a side note here, he is pointing to a box of a dozen Chomp donuts, one of each of them.
Yes, we've got 12.
That's
12
the problem
on
the radio.
Menu,
they can't see it.
I brought everybody here, KPCW, so you guys can try them and tell me which is your favorite.
Very well.
But I'm pointing at the caramel that's draped so beautifully over our salted caramel donut. That caramel is actually made in-house. It's not like just melted caramel. It is, we use all the ingredients to make it so it tastes exactly like it. Then we take some salt and we just put just enough on it so you have that perfect juxtaposition between the salt and the caramel. You take a bite and then the vanilla bean glazed donut base that's in there is made with little shaved vanilla beans that we shave so that the taste is not on top of it, but it's actually part of. Our Boston cream pie is a combination, is more, it's cream, custard, it's like this beautiful, we had a guy yesterday who says, I like it to be more of X. And another guy said, I like it to be more of Y. I want more custard. I want more of this. Both of them said, okay, that was great.
That was good.
Our sprinkles. I mean, I could our blue and white sprinkle donut, because our colors are blue and white. If you get into the shop at the right time, you will watch the chefs actually making the sprinkles. They make the batter. They drizzle it out by hand in lines. Then we bake it, and then we break it up. So every one of these sprinkles is actually made by hand in the store. We don't just go buy them at the store and then throw them on top of it. Our lemon blueberry crumble, fresh blueberries, fresh lemons. Our maple bacon praline is off the hook. Raspberry jam. We literally take the raspberries and make the raspberry jam. We do all that so that what you're getting is a fresh donut with fresh made toppings. As we say, it's simplicity served fresh.
Nice. So we only have a minute to go.
Yes.
So now that you're open and the business is running, would you do it all over again?
100%. And I'll end with this story. We had a woman come in this morning who works in the courthouse. And she said to me, I said, where do you work? She said, she was buying a dozen donuts. She says, I'm going to the courthouse to bring donuts. I said, you know, I'm a lawyer. I've now moved from being a lawyer to doing donuts. And I said, she asked me, so why this? I said, you see the smile on your face holding a dozen donuts? Have you ever smiled that big when a lawyer carried something into the courthouse? And she broke out laughing. I said, and that is why I'm doing donuts.
That is exactly it.
So that before we go, you brought 12 varieties.
I did.
Are there more varieties?
No, this is what we have currently on the menu. We will have seasonals, we'll have specials, but this is what we're dialing in so we can get our production down and just knock it out of the park.
And Kevin and I are most grateful and are really looking forward to digging in after this interview is over.
And the whole news crew and production, everybody.
My thank you to you. Thank you.
So real quick, what was the biggest surprise on doing this business?
I think the biggest surprise was how gracious everybody's been. I really, and everyone showed up. People tell you all the time, the worst thing that can happen is you open, no one shows up. We had the opposite. So thank you.
Well, awesome listeners, we just spent a few minutes with Rick Nemeroff of Chomp Donuts. For those of you driving, I hope you're not salivating too much